Oh yeah, the sound Ginger made sound, I don't even know. It was so weird. It sounded like someone was crying.
Oh, that's...
Dogs make weird sounds.
They do. It's almost like they're not people that make dog noises.
And she could have had you fooled. She acts like a person. Say a good 80% of the time.
That's so much of the time for a dog. Mm-hmm.
Yesterday we spent the whole day with her, and Kalina had to get her phone fixed before she went back to sleep, or the battery replaced. Oh, okay. No, it's because she has a 6S, and you know, the whole thing with the updates and how Apple was sued because their batteries can't sustain anything, but specifically the amount of updates that they put out. So they offered to replace batteries for $30. I don't know how that worked out for them, but... Or it worked out for them and not for the people who bought the... I don't even know how much it was then. How much was an iPhone 6S?
Like $850, probably.
Hmm. Well, now there's an affordable option.
Quote, unquote. Affordable. It's $100 less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. The only thing that makes sense to me is the iPhone for life plan, but...
Yeah, but then you don't own the phone.
Yeah. I'll talk about it
in a little bit. But
okay. Yeah.
I'm Nikki.
And I'm Jules.
And this is Tangential, a podcast about the internet and the things that we do on it. Every single week, Jules and I go through our internet search histories and talk about the things that we find the most interesting, and then share that conversation with you for free. You're welcome. I think it is my turn to start this week.
You are right.
Allegedly. Wow. I did it. For once, I didn't have to question whether or not it was my turn, and it definitely isn't because this is the second time we're doing this. Do you remember the year 2002? It was a post-9/11 world. Everything was pretty kind of gross out there. Fashion was bad. People loved denim.
People still love denim, by the way.
But like, you're not going to see Justin Timberlake roll out there onto that red carpet in like a denim tuxedo like he was doing when he was with Britney.
I thought that was like in the late 90s. I always thought...
Yeah, now, like, as soon as I started saying it, like, I'm like...
You might be right. I don't know, though. We were too young. I was six.
Unclear. I was six. But you know what we were doing when we were 6 years old?
No.
Going to the movie theaters and watching the film Scooby-Doo.
I did do that.
Which made a surprise... How much do you think that film made?
Well, again, this isn't the second time we're doing this, so... Mm-hmm. I'm going to guess in the... Eight-figure range?
No, what if it was nine figures? It made $275 million, and then the second one, Monsters Unleashed, made $185 million, like north of those figures. So it made around like $500 million. And Jules said that these movies were good, actually, and I strongly disagree.
No, like, think about
because
it.
Because
the casting
bad.
Was perfect. If you've watched the reboots, casting is of perfect. The new Scooby-Doo movies, they're awful with the exception of like Hayley Kiyoko. Like, but all the rest of the people suck. The casting was good. The writing was bad. Scooby looks interesting, but like, it works.
That's
because
a word.
He's animated and he's supposed to be wild and kooky. The bad part of the first movie, which I what was it called again? Is it Monsters Unleashed?
Scooby-Doo. No,
Mystery
I think it's just called Scooby-Doo.
No, there has to be an island in the... I swear. Anyway.
I think it was on Mystery Island, but I don't think there was a...
Well, the Scrappy-Doo plot was wrong and bad, but I think the costumes were great, and I think... You had Sarah Michelle Gellar and Freddie Prinze Jr. and Linda Cardellini at the height of their career. And it was great. It was great. It worked because the franchise didn't have a live action.
It didn't.
And
I just thought it was weird because I like started to do research because then I was like, when did What's New Scooby-Doo happen, which was like the official canonized reboot of the animated series for the 21st century. Mm-hmm. But that didn't happen until September of 2002. So, like, it's not like there were, other than, like, parents showing their kids Scooby-Doo stuff, there wasn't, like, a thing on TV that was new that kids were Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, there
that
was.
That was easily identifiable.
There was.
What was
the
it?
The movies. The movies were really good. Like, Scooby-Doo and the Witch's Ghost with the Hex Girls. You're gonna have to, like.
That was after, though.
No, I don't think so. Let's look that up right now.
Hex
I feel
girls.
Vehemently about this.
Scooby-Doo and the Hex Girls was 2000, and, well, this video was uploaded in 2008.
Mm-hmm. No, it's Scooby-Doo and the Witch's Ghost, I think. Yeah, okay, and let's see. And did you know Tim Curry was in that? He played the bad guy. That came out in 1999.
Oh, no, you're right, 1999.
And then also there was the movie where Shaggy and Scooby go to, like, this. It's essentially Hotel Transylvania. Hotel Transylvania kind of stole from the Scooby-Doo special. Scooby and Shaggy are PE teachers because, yeah, they had to get a job at some point. And they go to this academy, and they think it's going to be just like a normal girls' boarding school, but it turns out it's a boarding school for ghouls.
Ghosts.
And or I guess it's more Monster High than than, what did I say? Hotel Transylvania.
Hotel Transylvania.
Yeah, so they become PE teachers for these ghouls. It's really cute. That was a movie. But maybe that came out in the 60s, 70s as well on Boomerang. When was Boomerang created?
Boomerang is, like, I think, in, like, a 90s situation. I definitely thought all of these movies that, like, ending with Scooby-Doo and the Cyber Chase... Mm-hmm. I thought those were after the movie.
No, you got Zombie Island.
I was so,
you got
the
Alien
so confident.
Invasion one. Yeah.
And then Witch's Ghost and then Cyber Chase. I was so confident in that idea. I
Cyber
didn't even
Chase
look
was
it up.
Wild.
Yeah, they thought that it was their most dangerous case yet.
It was.
The internet.
They could have been deleted.
They could have died. When you die in the game, you die in real life. According to the Scooby-Doo wiki page, Scooby-Doo and the Cyber Chase was the last official Hanna-Barbera production.
Oh, that's...
Because by the time that came out, Warner Brothers had fully absorbed Hanna-Barbera into the Warner Brothers animation family.
Wait, and Nikki, there was a pup called Scooby-Doo. Did you ever watch that? It was like, Scooby-Doo, Scooby-Doo, Scooby-Doo.
Oh, I do remember that.
A pup named Scooby-Doo. See, there was tons of Scooby-Doo.
Right.
And that's why I think the live action was successful, because kids knew about Scooby-Doo.
But that theme song wasn't as good as the theme song to What's New Scooby-Doo, which was by Simple Plan.
I mean, it was great.
Canadian punk pop band, Simple Plan.
Yeah, in this Cartoon Network line of thinking, I went into a Miniso yesterday. Do you know what Miniso is?
Is it the thing that looks like it's Uniqlo, but it is not, but it is, like, they sell like,
it's
Wee
the
Bear.
Same kind of font.
Yeah, it, like,
yeah,
they,
I was,
like,
was going to
yeah.
mention the Wee Bear Bears thing.
Yeah, I thought it was Uniqlo. Like, I walked by and was like, oh, is this Uniqlo? It is not.
It's like a Daiso, except with Uniqlo branding,
yeah,
I guess. But yeah, they have a ton of Wee Bear Bear stuff in there. It's so cute.
Yeah. They've got like it's really strange because I was like extremely not expecting it. But they've got like backpacks and towels and stuff.
And then also they oddly have a bunch of Pink Panther branded stuff.
Yeah,
currently.
I was super weirded out by that. Like, it didn't make any sense to me because I hadn't been in one until I was in San Francisco last week. And there's mm-hmm. there was one in Stonestown, which is one of the malls. And I was like, there's such a weird combination of things. They have like randomly unlicensed stuffed animals. And then there's Wee Bear Bears stuff. And then, like you said, there's Pink Panther stuff. Just super bizarre. But maybe it's like popular in Japan and Korea, which is where these stores are, according to the Google machine.
I actually bought, a pair of Bluetooth headphones from there, and they actually have been working well until I tried to use them right now. And I was just looking up a bunch of reviews on them before I bought them. They were like $30, mm-hmm. which is how much I'd be willing to spend for like, what I'd spend on Amazon anyway. This just like saved me the time of waiting for Amazon. And the reviews that I looked up were from Pakistan.
Huh.
Mainly. Yeah. And in the reviews they said, yeah, it's a store that we have a lot here.
Yeah, I'm looking at the list. They have one in North Korea. They have stores in Japan, Taiwan.
How did that happen?
I don't know. Japan, Taiwan, Hong Kong, Nepal, Macau, India, Pakistan, Mongolia, South Korea, North Korea, Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, Vietnam, Sri Lanka, the Philippines, and Bangladesh. And then they have Australia, and then Canada, U.S., Mexico. The first U.S. store opened in Pasadena. They opened their first retail store in Brazil in August of last year. Chile in December of last year. They're going to enter Argentina this year. They opened their first store in Peru in May. And then they opened their first two stores in... They opened their first two stores in Colombia this year. One opened 2 weeks ago. And then the next one will open in Bogota, I don't know, in December. Then they also have stores in Spain, the UK, Germany, Italy, Serbia, and Russia. And they have a store in South Africa, Nigeria, and Kenya, and Egypt. There are two of them in Egypt.
Thank you.
They have them everywhere. The company is $1 billion company.
Really?
Yeah, $1.5 billion in revenue last year.
Good for them.
Yeah.
What was your next thing?
You heard about those iPhones?
Those iTelephones?
I did this last year, so I figured that I would do it this year. I'm realizing now...
When you said you were going to buy an iPhone.
Listen, when I did it last year, I guess I realized, like, now when I talk about products, I guess it sounds like I'm advertising, so like I'm gonna try to figure out how to not sound like that. So I'm just gonna, in as boring a tone as possible, tell you about these iPhones. So they've released three of them: the iPhone XS, the iPhone XS, the iPhone XS Max, and the XR. The XR is the cool one and the interesting one. The XS and the XS Max are just, what if you made another 10 and then made it bigger? And that's what you've got. The XR is basically the successor to the 8. So it's got the back side of the 8. So it's a glass back. Still one camera. The front side looks like a 10, though.
Wait, my 8 doesn't have a glass back.
Huh?
My 8 doesn't have a glass back.
What did I... Doesn't it?
Nope.
Yeah, it does.
Yep.
I was so confused. Are you FaceTiming me? Should I decline this?
No, it's an accident.
Okay.
It's an accident.
I fixed it. Okay. So the 10R has a glass back, but the front is now notched. So it looks like the front of a 10 screen. Except it's not an OLED screen. So I guess we'll talk about screens. So OLED is short for organic light emitting diodes, which basically means that like you can organize these LEDs in a way in basically any configuration that you want. And it is easier to make screens in weird shapes. So which is why for the iPhone X, you have the bunny ear where the notch is, where they've cut out the notch for Face ID. Because you can very easily shape the screens in that way. And because you can shape the screens that way, you can basically cram a bunch more pixels in any direction. So that's why the screens are so high res. The OLED screen on the 10 is the first OLED screen that Apple has used before. All of the other screens have just been really good LCDs, which is liquid crystal diodes. OLEDs are expensive, though, and Apple's argument for why the 10 was so expensive was that because this is their first OLED screen, it is so unbelievably beautiful, this OLED screen, Tim Cook would tell you, which is why the price has gone up. However, in order to, quote, keep the prices down, they could not put an OLED screen, even though they could have. There are lots of cheaper phones with OLED screens in them. They just didn't want to use Samsung's screens is really the reason. But they were like, we need to figure out how to put an LCD in there for the cheaper phone. But it is way, way, way harder to cut LCDs because of the way that you make LCDs, because they are a single panel that you can't really bend or like shape otherwise. You literally have to cut the screen out in order for it to display, in order for it to appear the way you want it to. So because Apple couldn't figure out how to get that screen right, literally because they didn't want to pay Samsung for their screens, the 10R is delayed, and also they're using an LCD that is not that great. Like, it'll still look really good, especially for people who are, like, moving from... If you're moving from a 6 to this 10R, or from a 7 to this 10R, you're not going to notice a difference. But if you were to move from, like, from a 10 and then look at a 10R, you would definitely notice, because it's only a 720p display, basically. Anyway, the screen is not really the most interesting part to me. The most interesting part to me is that they brought the colors from the 5C back, which is so, so cool. So there are 6 colors for the 5 or for the 5C, for the 10R. Like, why? Why would you name the phones like this? Like, who decided that this was a good and solid idea?
Letters and numbers, and like, more letters and more numbers.
It's so dumb. So they, in order, like, they did the same thing with the 5C, which was, like, to make it, to make you understand that you've purchased the cheap one, but also to, I guess, kind of make you feel a little better that you've purchased the cheap one. They've, like, thrown in a bunch of colors. So there's a blue one. I mean, obviously this is an audio show. You should go look it up if you want to see what the colors are. There's this really cool blue one. There's white, there's black, there's yellow, which I think is really interesting. Like, it's a really interesting yellow, and then there's a product.
I feel like there was a yellow. Wait, what was the colored one? Was it a 4S?
No, you mean the 5C? The only ones that had colors were the 5Cs.
Oh, yeah, the 5C. Yeah, I think there was a yellow with the 5C, but maybe I'm making
it. No, for the 5C, it was white, black.
Or there was an orange.
It was white, black, green, like a lime green, a teal blue, and the yellow. And they basically adhere to that same color split. There's just no green here. They replaced the green. So there's a product red one, which is, like, if you've seen any product red phone, you know what that looks like. Except I think this one looks way better. I think, personally, that the product red iPhone 8 and 7 looks like trash. Because of how big that phone is, it just looks loud to me and, like, looks tacky. But I think the, like, at least looking at pictures of this product red 10R, I think it looks way better. But the real winner is the coral one. And that coral one is gorgeous. And that's the one that I'm going to say right now at 12 p.m. on Saturday, September 15th, that I'm going to buy. I was yesterday. Here's how close I was, Jules. Yesterday, I had gotten all the way that you could possibly get in the T-Mobile website before you actually purchased an iPhone XS. XS. I have screenshots. I was there, and the only reason I bailed is because I also want the watch, and that the price difference between buying a 10R and buying the 10S is the watch. So
yeah,
I guess we'll check in and see where I'm at in literally a month.
Couple paychecks.
Yeah, in a month, because the 10R, because it, like I said, because I couldn't figure out the screens, it's gonna be another month before the 10R comes out. So in a month, I guess we'll check and see if I actually did the thing and bought the phone. But I'm going to do it, is what I'm saying right now. I also have to do it for work.
We've literally been having this conversation for the last five years.
But now I have to do it for work. So.
Okay.
Is there anything else? The only other thing I had was, like, I looked up arcade machines because last week we went to Coin Up when I was in San Francisco, and I was like, I wonder how much a Time Crisis machine is. Time Crisis machines are $1,000, so I'm not going to be able to buy a Time Crisis machine.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's a huge bummer. And then the McElroy brothers got themselves into Trolls 2. Have you heard this story? It's like not...
The movie?
No, yes, the movie. So... I'll like do it as quickly as possible. McElroy brothers are the people who host My Brother, and Me, The Adventure Zone, and they have like a whole family podcast with other people in their family. And Justin, the oldest brother's daughter, loves Trolls, like loves the first Trolls film. And when they were in Portland a year and a half ago,
they got high, did a recording of a show called The McElroy Brothers Will Be in Trolls 2, where they had the idea to force their way into Trolls 2. So they hosted a podcast from the perspective of people who had already been in Trolls 2, but it was them calling around and calling in favors to their agent and people that their agent knew to figure out if they could work their way into Trolls 2. And this week, they got cast in the film Trolls 2. So it's a really good podcast. It's only like 6 episodes or something, and the episodes are like 20 to 30 minutes long. It's really fun. And the power, if you yell enough, you can do anything, I guess, in the podcast space. That's all I had. What about you?
Yell for a phone louder.
Yeah, I need an iPhone. Would that work?
That'll do it. On to me. Yeah. So this week, I sent Nikki this article that I found interesting. It was written for The Atlantic, and it was entitled Brands Are Not Our Friends. And it was written by Ian Bogost. He basically started this article off by talking about his first brand interaction on Twitter. He tweeted at Comcast, until Comcast can deliver me pizza, I will remain empty inside.
It's a good and tweet. It's a 10 out of 10 tweet.
That's what he thought at the time. He thought he was at peak hilarity of his Twitter career. And promptly, I think 20 minutes later, 10 boxes of pizza were delivered to him. And at the time, he thought that was amazing. But then he goes on throughout the article to talk about how brands... Well, he particularly at this point in his career wasn't a huge writer yet. And he didn't have a huge Twitter... Or he did have a huge Twitter following, and he thought he was being manipulated or being given the 10 boxes of pizza because of this. But then he found that this has just become a way that brands interact with people. They buy their followers. They buy... This is like a new form of marketing, mm-hmm. or it's been the form of marketing for the last couple years. Like, each brand has their own personality. Wendy's is sassy, you know, like... Each brand has a personality that's created by a team of people. It's a really interesting article, and it really makes you rethink why you are on Twitter, I think. Because people crave brand interaction, and I think it's a valid question to ask why. Why do you care about being recognized by a huge corporation in any way? I think it's worth a read.
Yeah.
The second, do you have anything to talk about?
No, I mean, it's
concerning
a,
that just
it's
because,
a really good piece.
Just because
I texted Jules like right after she sent me that article, and I was like, they're like early me on, or like my early Twitter, like the reason I started a Twitter account was because I wanted to interact with the brand that was Attack of the Show, which was a television show that was on G4, like in the mid to late 2000s, that was hosted by Kevin Pereira and Olivia Munn, that was like, I've told the story before, but it was like, it's basically just like a nerd culture show, with all of the bad and good things associated with those things, with that group of people at that time. And like that was the defining thing for my Twitter. Like, one of my early defining moments on Twitter was when the Xbox account followed me, and I was like, oh, this is it. I have peaked. And like, looking back, that literally means nothing to me. Like, it doesn't affect me at all. But like, yeah, there are people who are like desperate for that kind of interaction, and I get it. I think it's because it's like, it is validation from a thing that you know you interact with. So if the Twitter version or whatever, if the online arm of that corporation also acknowledges you, I think that is what that connection is. Even if you step back and you're like, oh, no, and it's actually just some person sitting in an office building in New York.
Literally
or
some
in LA.
Social media manager who has seen my tweet.
Exactly. And like the mystique is immediately gone, like is thrown away the second you are in that position running a Twitter account for a brand or corporation. You
Absolutely.
Lose it immediately.
Yeah.
But still for people like it means like for me, especially in early days of Twitter, it meant the world to me when like. And the Xbox account would like a tweet of mine. I would be like, oh shit, the Xbox account liked my tweet. That was like a valid and good thing I said about Halo or whatever. Even though like, and I still think for like lots of people that like that feeling has not gone away. Like getting sassed out by Wendy's for some people, I'm sure is like a highlight of the week. But like, for me, and I even for you, a person who does not use Twitter, like that, like because we are on the other side of it so frequently, I think the magic is gone, or like whatever perceived magic is not there anymore.
Yeah, absolutely.
You should, sorry, everyone should also read Ian's other stuff. He's a professor of like interactive media in Georgia.
Virginia. Or
yeah,
Georgia.
And he writes about games a lot. And just look up Ian's stuff. It's real good. I used it for my thesis.
Cool, I didn't know that. Okay, the second thing I looked up, I finally got around to watching Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Mm. I hadn't watched
it. I haven't seen that one.
It's on Netflix, so now it's on Netflix. So, oh, you haven't seen it?
I know what happens, I just haven't seen it.
Okay, well, for those who have seen it, a critical point of the... Okay, I didn't really jive with Guardians of the Galaxy 2 just because I didn't think it made a lot of logical sense. And I think there was literally a Reddit comment that said the same exact thing that I just said. Just because there are just some... Okay, for example, the question that I looked up was, why did Ego, who is Chris Pratt or Peter's father... Do you know anything about Ego?
Other than he's like a planet.
Yeah, he's a planet. And,
but he's a man.
Apparently,
it's weird.
He took a man form and he fell in love with Peter's mom. And that's why Peter is like half god, I guess, or whatever. Half planet. He says, he admits that he had to put a tumor in Peter's mom's brain. Like, he says those words. Mm-hmm. And... I was just like,
why?
And I think the reasoning was that he was realizing that every time he had to go to Earth, he lost his power and had to be recharged, and he was losing grasp of what his purpose in life was, which I guess was to create a brand new universe. And so he... decided to kill her because he couldn't keep on going back and forth.
And there's no other way.
My question is, why couldn't he bring her with him to his planet?
Or just stop going.
No, he was in love with her.
Oh, you're
like that's the point. She's the first person that he ever fell in love with. But yeah, why couldn't... I don't understand why you'd kill the thing. Yeah, honestly, it just wasn't...
Well, it's because...
Baby Groot provided enough laughs throughout the entire thing.
That you have to you have to kill the thing you love in order to for the betterment of the society, which is why there's a mirror when he's going to go kill Gamora in... Sorry, spoilers for Avengers Infinity War. When Peter goes to kill Gamora, but then Gamora's a ghost or whatever the fuck. You know, remember? I don't think Infinity War's a good movie.
There's lots of good Nebula moments in this movie as well.
Yeah, I think it's worth it. Everyone should go watch Movies with Mikey's video on Guardians 2 and on Infinity War is what I will say, and it has changed my opinion on Infinity War radically, and now I don't think Infinity War is a good movie anymore.
Well, I never did, so... Anyway, the next thing... Oh, this entire week I've just been following the Toronto International Film Festival just because of my position at Film Fatales and just tracking all the female directors at the festival. The festival has been going on from September 6th, and it's ending tomorrow. Just looking up updates, my favorite director, Xavier Dolan, was at the festival shopping. I guess it's shopping when you go to a festival. You're trying to get it bought by people. He famously had this movie that he's been working a while on with this all-star cast called The Death and Life of John F. Donovan. And it's this movie that has had a lot of press surrounding it because it had Jessica Chastain in it and it was well over, I think, 3 hours. And then he just had to cut Jessica Chastain out.
What?
And he edited it down to 2 hours. Yeah, her part completely was edited out, even though they're supposed to be really good friends. And everyone was like, what happened? It's been getting atrocious reviews, which is really sad because Xavier Dolan is super young. I think he's 27 or 28. He's been making movies since he was 18 or 20, and I've loved nearly every single one of them and connected to them in some way, and he's obviously extremely talented. He directed the
Adele song music video.
Mm-hmm, the music video, he directed that, but before he got notoriety from that, he was and is this amazing director who's done movies like Lawrence Anyways and Tom the Farm and J'ai tué ma mère, which is I killed my mother.
How rude of him.
He's French Canadian. And Mommy, one of my favorites. Yeah, I was sad about that. But Timmy's been getting a lot of hype, so good for Timmy.
Great job, Timmy.
Taking over 2018.
Timmy, come on the show.
How could that even happen?
Does he have Twitter?
How could we? I don't think he's like super social media rooted. I think he
has an agent.
He takes
though.
Pride. That's true.
We can take traditional.
How do we find out who his agent is? I'm sure it's a simple Google search away. Anyway.
I can't find it. Oh.
Oh.
Bookingagentinfo.com. Register. They're making me register and pay money. I'm out.
IMDb Pro? Are you telling me Jeffrey has Timmy's number? He could just call him?
That's how it works.
With the help of IMDb Pro? The last thing that I've kind of been following the entire week is, Paul Manafort and,
who?
Yeah, who? So if you don't know, Paul Manafort is an international political operative and he was Trump's campaign chairman.
What a promotion, Timothy. What a promotion that Paul got.
For Paul?
Yeah. He went from just being a guy to international political operative.
I've just been following his agreement to cooperate with the Justice Department and how he's pleaded guilty to two conspiracy charges. And Giuliani was really quick to say that these charges have nothing to do with Trump or his campaign. Mm-hmm.
Super death, super
and that it all can be linked back to the Obama administration.
Thanks, Obama.
And yeah, I guess we'll find out more about this case later on, but it's untimely for Trump because he was just boasting how awesome Paul was a week ago.
Another wild shit that the president did this week, he said that the 3,000 people who died as a result of the hurricane in Puerto Rico didn't die.
Yeah.
Which is just, what the fuck, my dude? Yeah, we're in the middle of a constitutional crisis, and it's real cool. It's like, this is one of those things where, like, you don't know you're living in history until, like, afterwards. Except, like, I'm hyper aware of the fact that, like, it shit's bad. But usually you don't get that until, like, after it's broken bad. So the world's changing, I guess.
And with that is our show.
Was that it? Wow.
Yep.
I just wasn't expecting to have that be the end on such a happy, just super exciting note.
We always try to keep things upbeat around here, you know?
We're all dying. Are you doing anything? What are you guys going to... What movie are you going to guys... Fuck. I'm going to try that one again.
The Blake Lively movie with Anna Kendrick.
So is it a murder movie like I thought it was or nah?
I thought it was, but I think it's just a mystery. You should come.
All right. That'll do it, I guess, for this week's episode of Tangential. Thanks so much for listening. You can find the show wherever you get podcasts. What is happening?
Whoa. I think there's a child.
Wow.
Dying?
Jeez.
Ginger's...
about to bark. We have to end the show.
Oh, no. Thanks for listening to this episode of Tangential. You can find Tangential wherever you find podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or whatever. Just type in Tangential into your podcast app and you'll find it. Or you can go to tangential.xyz to find the show and all the show notes that Jules writes every single week. And yeah, that's that. You can find me on Twitter at Godzilla. You can find Jules on Twitter at JS Clemic, and you can find the show on Twitter at tangential_. You can find us on Instagram also, which is where we post fun social video. I'm Chasing Grayson. Jules is also JS Clemic. Huge thanks to Louis Zong for the use of our theme song Blackberry Jam off of the album Jam 2. You can find all of Louis' great music at louiszong.bandcamp.com. And I think I did it. I think that was it.
Ginger didn't even bark. She just looked at me and was like, I'm not going to do it.
So kind of her. Thanks for listening. Oh, you can email the show at tangentialpod@gmail.com. If you do it, you might get a segment named after you. You just got to have a good idea. So there's that. That's it. There's a website called timothychalamet.net.
I wouldn't recommend
clicking it. I've already clicked it. It's your best fan site about Timothy. Do you think there's naked pictures?
I don't
know. The first tag on this image.
Is that like child pornography?
Is he a child?
Is he our age?
He has the sex in that movie. I don't think he's a child.
Kids have sex in movies. That's a thing that happens. They fake it. Timmy.
He's 22 years old. He's our age. He's not a child.
Oh. Well. Oh, yeah, he is your age.
It's tagged as the tags for. Okay. Oh, Beautiful Boy is the name of the movie, not a description of Timothy.
With Steve Carell.
Got it. It's coming out on Amazon. I thought it was just they were tagging this video. Oh, God. Audio is playing. We're going to end the show. Goodbye, everybody. He's 6 feet tall.
Bye.
Bye.